Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to us. God is good. And all the time, God is good. If you don't think God is good, think of the alternative where you could be this morning. But we know that God is good. This morning, it's so good to see each and every one of you here. We're happy to have those who are visiting with us this morning as well. And we thank you for coming out to be a part of the services with us. Today, we've got another message on the church, because the church is an important part of a believer's life. When we think about it, there are three things that are going to get us to heaven: the gospel, Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. Without those three things, we are lost. So let us take a moment now and go to God in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, blessed are we today, for we have been allowed to wake up this morning, get up, and make our way out to your house. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for giving us the blessings that you gave us on last night. You first of all put us to sleep, then you woke us up this morning. You gave us food to eat and shelter while we slept, and we're so eternally grateful. We are praying this morning, Father, for all of those who are members of the body especially. We are praying for those who might be sick this morning, those that we know of and those that we haven't been notified of, but we know that they are missing today. We pray and ask you, Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, you continue to heal and make sure that they might be ready to be with us at the next appointed time. That includes all the sick in our midst. We pray for Sister Jackson as she heals, and we continue to pray that she might get better. Father, we pray and ask you to be with the members of this congregation this morning, especially those who are believers in Christ, especially those who are holding up the bloodstained banner of Christ. We thank you for the leaders here. We thank you for their families, and we pray for all the members in their family as well. We thank you, Lord, for all you do for us and everything you do for us. We thank you that one day, a long time ago, Jesus left heaven and came down here to earth to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross. We're just so eternally grateful. And Father, we pray that the services that we're about to enter into, that they may be found acceptable in thy sight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything, O Lord, especially for Jesus as he came to this earth. We thank you now, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us all say amen. This morning we want to talk about Jesus and his church. Today, as members of the Lord's church, we need to give honor and all praises to Jesus, for he is the founder and builder of the church, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. Many times we give honors to men when Jesus should be receiving the honor and praises. There's nothing wrong with giving honor to men, but only after God is praised and honored first. Jesus should be the greatest person in the church because he is. Let us look at giving as we give honor to Christ for the church that bears his name, because he is the foundation, he is the head, and the builder of it. When one becomes a student of the Bible, he or she learns to accept the Word of God as truth. So when we say Christ is the foundation of the church, we have but to go directly to the Word of God and to find out and to get proof. For biblical proof, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. If you go with me to 1 Corinthians 3 and 11, where the word says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ." Every building or construction endeavor must start with a foundation. Therefore, no other foundation but Jesus Christ will stand forever. So it just seems to me that it should bear a forever name, and it needs a forever foundation. So a forever name means having a forever foundation. So some may want to know the credentials of Christ. First, let us start at the top. In Genesis 1 and 1, it tells us that Christ was there with God. And then in John chapter 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Christ was there in the beginning, church. And then in John 8 and 12, the Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Then in John 14 and verse 6, he declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm just abbreviating the qualifications of Jesus to be the church's foundation. Then he said in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, "I am the door. If any man enters in, he shall be saved." I believe Jesus is qualified to be the foundation of the church. What do you think, church? Do you think we've got a foundation that no other man could be but Jesus Christ? I think we do. Jesus declares himself the builder of the church. And only he can make that claim. Men can build houses. Men can build buildings of tremendous heights. But only Christ can lay claim to building the one church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How, Lord, can you say that? Well, I'll tell you how, because it tells us in the Word of God, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, "Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." The apostles and the prophet are secondary in the foundation. Jesus Christ is the primary foundation, or chief cornerstone, if you will. And just in case you're still not getting it, notice Ephesians chapter 5, starting around verse number 23. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." There's a lot to be said there, but I'm just going to leave that alone for a little while. Let me just say this. The right to be the head over the wife has been given to the man, just as Christ has the right to be the head of the church. Man may use different materials to build their buildings, but Jesus used lively stones to build his spiritual house, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus is likened unto a living stone because he has eternal life in himself. Today we should be proud and honored to be a member in the one church purchased by the blood of Christ, according to Acts 20 and verse number 28. The church is a spiritual house, and the foundation is Jesus. When we speak of the church, we should say the name proudly and with honor, for it was and it still is the only one built by Jesus Christ. You know, there are many buildings that claim to be churches, but they put up there on their sign, they put "founded by somebody else." Well, that's not the Church of Christ, because the Church of Christ was founded and built by Jesus Christ. Christ even declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. It shall not prevail. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 16 and 18 again, He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Oh, yeah, let me make this perfectly clear. Due to internal conflicts, churches may close their doors. Due to internal conflicts or because of indifference, because of worldly attitudes coming into the church, and by strife caused by men against one another. But the body of Christ will always stand, for it will stand for eternity. It will last until Jesus comes for it. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, according to Ephesians 3 and verse number 25. I'm so glad that this morning, that on last Wednesday night, Brother Burnside did a Bible study on the church. And I was hesitant about it, but I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and do this anyway, even though Brother Burnside did one. But see, most of you wasn't here on Wednesday night. And if you wasn't here, you missed the lesson. So when you miss it, I can sort of review it for you. But I'm not going to tell you everything that Brother Burnside. Ask Brother Burnside if he's got a copy of his lesson, if you will. And he might give it to you so that you can study it. I have been going back and forth on doing this review on the church. So I said, let me do my lesson again, because I believe we need to be reminded from time to time why we come to the church of Christ. And when you look at the text, Ephesians 3 and verse 21, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And then it says, amen. You ought to say amen every now and then about the church that you are a member of. The church of Christ. Not the church of God in Christ, but the church of Christ. There's a difference. So when we think about it, why do we believe in the church? Let us look back for a moment. It says Jesus is the foundation of the church. Jesus is the builder of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And one day he's coming back for his church. I like the church because we don't need to charge admission for us to get in. We don't play the dating game in the church of Christ. We don't have bingo games in the church of Christ. We don't have none of that. Or we shouldn't have. Let me rephrase that. We shouldn't have. All we need to do is to put on Jesus through baptism. That's the only cover charge that you'll ever need to be a member of the church of Christ. That's where the blood meets the water, and you meet the blood in the water when you go down into the watery grave of baptism. No matter what your life used to be, you can become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Shouldn't there be glory in being a member of the church of Christ? When we consider Ephesians 3 and 21, it tells off of the God who is the God who is full of mercy and grace, and how he is able to do more for us than we can ever do for ourselves or we can ever do for him. Let the church always offer praise to the Lord, for he is an able God. Serve the Lord, worship him in his church. The one that causes it, that carries his name, the one that he built, the one of whom he is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. Consider, if you will, a matter for a few moments of what if I wasn't a member of the church of Christ. Ask yourself, do a self-inventory and ask yourself, if I wasn't a member of the church of Christ, what church would I be in? And first of all, let me tell you, don't say I'll just stay at home and worship God on the internet. Don't say I'll just go to church on an occasion, and that would be your choice, the occasion, and that's not always a good choice that you make. Don't say that I can just go to any church, because God is in all churches. Well, how come he didn't put his name on all of them? And most of all, don't say that I don't believe the word of God will condemn us for not going to church. Because Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we are to meet together when the assembly is called. So when I think about it, if Christ is the builder of the church. Now he said in Matthew 16 and 18, I upon this rock I will build my church. So if he's the builder, doesn't it make logical sense that it should carry his name? It makes logical sense that the name of Christ should be foremost on your sign or on your advertising or on your bulletin, whatever you put the church's name on. It seems like Christ should be there first, the church of Christ. And just because you say, well, I don't think that God is going to penalize me, doesn't mean that he won't penalize you. When God made the church, said, upon this rock I will build my church, he didn't have to get our permission. He already told us when he was talking to Peter, he told us through that conversation with Peter that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when you come out on Sunday morning, you're coming to the Lord's house. You're not coming to your house. We're coming to the Lord's house. Isn't that right, church? And when you come to the Lord's house, it just makes sense. You ought to follow the instructions given in the Word of God on the ways to worship him. Worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. Isn't that right, church? So no matter what you have been like in your life, God is able to renew you through the baptism of Christ. And I thank God this morning that there are so many of us who have been in the water already. But there are some who have not been to the watery grave of baptism. And I'm thanking God this morning that one day, before it's everlastingly too late, you should have time to go to the watery grave of baptism. And you know it's a simple matter. Brother Jackson goes into the back. He puts on some wading boots, as they're called. And he brings you in this watery grave behind me here. And you go down into the watery grave of baptism. You meet the blood of Christ. And that washes away your sin. You go down in it for the remission of your sin. And you, the blood and the water mixes together. Now, I don't know the chemical components or the makeup of it, but I simply know that the blood meets the water, and in the water, you go down into the water, and you come up a new creature. And then you become a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And I may as well tell you, that means you need to come every time the doors of the church are opened. Now, if I told you, for instance, that we were going to have a party in the back room, I know I'd get a lot of people. Because for some reason, people like festive atmosphere. If I told you we're going to have church service in the back today, I might not get so many people. But if I told you that in this party that we're going to have in the back, you're going to enjoy yourself. And you say, well, how do I know I'm going to enjoy myself? And I'll tell you, because we're going to have food, fun, and festivities. And you'll say, okay. But if I tell you we're simply going to study the Word of God, so many of you might not come. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I come here every Wednesday night. And Brother Burnside advertises each and every Sunday that we're going to have Wednesday night Bible class. and still not enough of you are showing up. Oh yes, I'm off topic here for a moment. Still not enough of you are showing up because you say, well, it ain't Sunday, so I'm not going today. I'm not going tonight. Well, I think that if you love the Lord, you ought to be willing to study His Word any day of any week at any time. And I just think it's good to be at Bible class. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. I work late, and by the time I get off, I just have enough time to go home and eat. Well, you could skip a meal and make it a little bit later and come to Bible class. And if you come to Bible class, it's real open. You get a chance to raise your hand and ask questions. And the whole Bible class sometimes try to answer the questions along with Brother Burnside. If you come to church on Sunday morning to Sunday morning Bible class, where Brother Jackson teaches the lesson each and every Sunday morning, and he does a fine job. You need to be here to get in on it to see what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell you the whole lesson because if you wanted to hear it, you would be here. So I'm just going to say to you, come to Bible class on Sunday morning and come to Bible class on Wednesday night so that you can study the Word of God. Then you'll understand what the Bible means when He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Let the church always offer praises to the one who is above all, in all, and through all. Now, when I consider the possibilities that one day we're all going to leave here and we need to have a righteous God on our side, and I know of but one righteous God, and that is Jesus Christ, who's going to judge us in the end. The same one who said, upon this rock I will build my church. The same one who said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The same one who died and went to yonder's cross. The same one who went into the grave and then got up and came out of the grave. The same Jesus Christ is the star of all of those attractions. But yet, how many of us will consider the fact that Jesus is going to judge us in the end? And I know most of us believe that Jesus is going to be our judge, but we don't want to accept His teachings on what He says. Now, the Bible is a good indication, is the greatest indication of all, the greatest roadmap in the world. It teaches us how to get to heaven. It teaches us the direction to go and the directions to heaven. It teaches us all about Jesus Christ. And then it tells us everything about our life we need to know. It tells us that sometime we're going to have some hard times. We're going to face persecution. Jesus said He was persecuted, so we shall be persecuted as well. It tells us everything about getting to heaven that we need to know. All we have to do is obey it. Obey the Word, be obedient to the Word, and live out our lives according to the Word of God, the Word of Christ, the Word of Jesus. And when you think about this building, now Christ didn't build this building, but Christ built the church, the original church in the Bible. Upon this rock I will build my church. But He didn't build the individual locations. Man did that. But it carries His name just the same. It carries the name, the Church of Christ. Now you can put whatever you want in front of it. The Belvedere Church of Christ. The Ford City Church of Christ. But it must carry the name of Jesus Christ in there in order for it to be the Church of Christ. So, when you're looking for a church, make sure it says it has the Church of Christ in there. Make sure it's the one that carries the bloodstained, holds up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Make sure they follow the guidance of the holy and divine Word of God. Make sure that if you go in the inner Church of Christ and somebody is playing the tambourines, You're in the wrong church. If you go in there and somebody is talking about jumping over the benches, you're in the wrong church. If you go in there and somebody is talking about, or let's say the somebody talking is a woman up in the pulpit, you're in the wrong church. If you go in there and they got any kind of musical instruments, you're in the wrong church. If you go in there and you hear anything but the Word of God, you're in the wrong church. So just what do I need to do in order to become a member of the right church? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. As I explained to you, Brother Jackson will put on his fashionable boots and go right in the water with you and baptize you right in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you become a member of the Lord's body. And just because you become a member of the Lord's body doesn't give you carte blanche into heaven. You still got to be obedient to the Word. You got to follow the church, the doctrine of the Church of Christ. And you got to study your Bible. And that's a topic, a sore topic for a lot of Christians, studying the Word of God. They say, I just don't have time. Yet you call upon God when you need everything else, but you won't call upon Him just for a few minutes per day. Just a few minutes. Don't take you long. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time. But the more time you spend, the better off you'll be. But just spend a little time with God each and every day. That's my suggestion to you. The Bereans was talking about searching the Scriptures daily to see what God had to say. So you need to search the Scriptures daily. And if you've been astray, after you become a member, if you go astray, you come back to the Lord by asking Him to forgive you, coming forward, asking the church to pray with and for you if it's necessary. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.